Riley, I walk on, broadly speaking, untrodden ground.
Yeah, good. All right. I was worried this was going to start with some nonsense. Like, Riley, I want to talk to you about then some word that wasn't my new flaws. And yeah. I was going to get very cross if that wasn't the situation. Dennis, floor chat. We've been waiting weeks for floor chat. Let's go.
So we changed all of the floors in our apartment for a myriad of reasons. One, the old carpets were like, had like random missing bits and spots. They were there from way before we moved in. And they were ugly. And, you know, it's gotten stained over the years, and we've gotten a guy in to clean them and stuff. And yeah, when you get a guy in to clean them, it looks clean, and then he leaves and 2 hours later, you're like, stain's still there. Like,
can I just jump in very quickly there? I've been to your house a fair few times, and it is interesting to hear you lay the blame for the damage done to your carpet at the feet of the former, you know, inhabitants of your house.
Oh, no. When I say over the years, I include the previous 5 years.
Did they happen to have an office chair not on one of those plastic protective sheet things in exactly the same place in the office that you work in, Dennis? Or is that just a coincidence, is it?
Oh, that didn't help.
Because you tore that up, Dennis.
My office did have truly a testicle of a scrotum of a carpet like, by the time I was done with it.
It was so awful. Rough. Like, this looked like, you know, like a couch that a cat has clawed or a soft toy that a dog has chewed. It looked like the equivalent of that, except in carpet.
It was well loved.
Very well loved by the bottom of your chair. No prophylactic involved there.
Prophylactic did not help, for what it's worth. I may have put it on too late. I may have attached the prophylactic post-coital. That might have been the issue.
Yeah, you busted, and then we're like, oh, I better wrap this up. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was an absolute mess. The rest of the cup, I don't remember it being disgusting and like...
Oh, it wasn't disgusting, but when like, you sit and stand in all day, you're like, oh, that bit's missing, and like, oh, there's a weird hole over there. And there was also another issue where we need to get a boiler put in because our boiler was an old kind that was illegal. And they had to pull up the floorboard to do it, and they didn't put it back properly. So like, there was a bit in the sitting room where you'd step and you'd just sink a little bit. And every time it was like, ugh, like a little involuntary roller coaster in the house.
Yeah, it's a little feature you get to have a little bit of fun with when you're walking around the laundry. That's good.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, we'll get that done too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the classic thing.
Yep.
You're made plans. You don't drink, so this won't be as relatable to you. This specific example, I think you'll understand what I mean. You make plans, like, especially when you're drunk at like 11 for the next day. And you wake up and you're like, why did I do that? Drunk Dennis, or even last night Dennis, was like, yeah, let's do it. Or, this might be more relatable to you, you make a plan to do something right after you've gotten off of a plane traveling somewhere. And you make that plan before you're on the plane.
Yeah.
Untraveled Riley is like, yeah, I'll go straight to dinner when I land, no problem. And you're like, why did I agree to this?
No, I just want to go to the hotel and sleep for 1,000 years. No, for sure. I get this with like... it's weird, this roller coaster you get, you buy concert tickets, and you're like, this is going to be the best show ever. And then you're like, I can't wait. And then about a week or before, you're like, oh, I don't really want to go. And then you go, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm glad I went.
I get exactly that, specifically with concert tickets and plays and stuff. I'm like, why am I going to this? And I get them like, oh, I'm glad I went. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about having to go to something imminently that annoys me.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a very common experience, particularly once you get to a certain age. It's just like, I could stay at home where my things are.
So what happened here was Nikki and I were away in the former Yugoslavia, and we had booked a guy to come do the floors the day we got back.
Yes.
Like, we got back Sunday at 10:30, and he was coming Monday at 8 a.m.
That's so dumb. Why didn't you check with anyone?
Well, we did. We were like, look, we'll just bang, bang, get out of the way.
That I could have told Dennis. I travel, like, extensively for work. You've traveled extensively for work. You know that you need to tack on a couple of days just to, like... feel at home again, like to.
Well, that's
a rookie mistake I wouldn't expect from someone like you, mate. Well,
we were expecting to come home and feel tired, and then the floor stuff would like wreck the house and make us feel weird and tired too. And it was only going to take like 3 days.
So you're sort of thinking, well, we're already tired and annoyed, so we may as well like you know, instead of having an extended period or another time being tired and annoyed, we may as well like bulk these together, you know.
Exactly. Do you ever wake up early in the morning and you're like, oh, I should go for a run? And if I decide to do it right now, I will be like a third of the way through the run before I'm even actually conscious.
I've never had that experience, but yes, I kind of understand where you're coming from. Yeah, yeah.
I do that when I go to the gym. If I wake up next week, I'm like, let's go right now, because yeah. I'm not fully online yet, and I'll be halfway through the workout when I'm like, oh yeah, oh, I'm up now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right. So I remember we were, I think this was before they were actually going to come and start doing the work. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when we were recording and either our starting time was delayed or I had to cut out a big gap in the middle. I think it was that.
Big gap in the middle.
Big gap in the middle. Because you told me, and you warned me, like, I'm not cross about this. This isn't a dagger. If anything, Dennis, really, it's a compliment. I'm actually going to give you a big pat on the back, because what you very clearly did was, obviously did your research on like the floor people, the people who are going to come and change your floor. And you chose only the very best, because you described this guy to me by saying, oh, wait, hang on. Halfway through the show, I may have to bail to show this guy where my floors are. And Dennis, I would say-
Surely I said show him the floors.
Words to that effect, you know, I'm not, I don't have-
Show him the floors is fine. He needs to know all the weird bits, how
Dennis,
big the rooms
I don't
are.
Look, you know, if I get a plumber into my house, I don't need to, I don't want to have to explain to him what a tap is and, oh, I turn this thing and then water
you
comes
You need to show
him
where the bathroom
interesting,
is.
Interesting, okay. And how does it work? And then it go. Where does the water go? So, well, mate, that's kind of your job. Mm. The floor guy walks into your house and you have to be like, okay, well, if you look very carefully under your feet, what you're going to find- So obviously you chose the best.
I wish I'd been more in depth,
more discerning in the choice you
more
made.
More discern, not oh, not no. in my choice, in my demonstration, in my walk around.
Well, what happened? Talk us through it. Let's go.
So, guy comes. He's like, "Yep, we'll do this." So on the Monday, one guy comes. His guys just throw about all the furniture, basically.
Okay,
and they rip up the carpet.
Yeah,
and so they, you know, they have to take, because normally this kind of thing, if you're replacing all of your floors, it's a massive headache if you, you know, live there, because they're like, all right, all the furniture has to go to this side of the room, where we tear the carpet over there, and we have to move it all to this side of the room, and that's true of like couches and beds and
dining
tables.
Did they do the moving, or did you have to do that?
They did the moving. Well, one set of guys did the moving, and then another guy comes in the next day and starts ripping.
Ah, it's like NFL teams. You've got your offensive team, you've got your defensive team.
They tag in,
Yeah, okay.
And what they do, Riley, is they realize, so they rip up the floorboards in the hall and in the room back here where I have my desk and in the bedroom and stuff. And that's fine. Under the floor finish, you have something called screed, apparently.
Screed?
I'm looking at a diagram here. Screed.
What is under, I was going to say, what is under floorboards? Screed.
It is floor leveling compound.
Okay.
And then there's some membrane or whatever, and then there is...
Right.
Concrete or a wood subfloor.
Do you know what's very confusing? I'm on the Wikipedia page for screed. Screed has three meanings in building construction. A flat board or purpose-made aluminium tool to smooth and true materials, like the sort of thing that you would rub over wet concrete to make sure it's nice and flat. Yeah. A strip of plaster or wood applied to a surface to act as a guide for a screed tool, right? So like the thing that you're using... So it's like, oh, can you put the screed down so I can use my screed to screed the thing? And then
You screed the screed, yeah.
You screed the screed because the material itself, which has been flattened with a screed. So you use a screed to guide your screed on while you're screeding some screed.
This is inscrutable. This is inscrutable.
Absolutely inscrutable.
And then the third one's the floor.
Dennis has got some big coughs today. Anyway, go on. So the guys, they rip up the floorboard, they reveal this screed.
Yeah, that's all fine. And they go to the sitting room, the main room, where the sitting room is, the kitchen is, the dining room is. It's all one big room.
Mm-hmm.
And they rip that up, and there's just plywood, and then nothing underneath it.
No screed.
No concrete.
Okay, see, I would consider that to be normal. I think if you ripped up my floorboards, it would just go straight to under my house.
Right, but you don't have another apartment underneath you.
Ah, very good. So if you stomped hard enough on your like floor, you would have ended up with your foot in the downstairs neighbor's ceiling. That's cool.
And right, we've had like 50 people here for like a New Year's Eve. You've been here.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down, dancing. Yeah. We were flying close to the sun, in this case, close to Arthur's kitchenette downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he dodged the bullet there. All right.
100%, dude. Mm. So they were like, ooh, well, so currently what we had before was we had carpets, and then underneath it we had this big, I don't know, 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter, let's say, square wood panels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I had thought was an poorly replaced floorboard before What they'd actually done was they just cut a bit out of one of the panels,
yeah,
put a pipe underneath it, and then put that bit they'd cut out back, which is kind of all they could do, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they couldn't. They could have. My dad taught me how to do this when he put a hole in the wall, actually. What was it called? He used all these technical terminology as to how to put a piece of a cutout material back when you've got nothing to brace it against. He taught me how to do it, and I can't remember any of the... I can do it, but I can't remember any of the terms. It sounded very
impressive. Well, the boiler guys did not have the experience required to do this.
They didn't have Martin Knight teaching them how to put holes into things and then fix it. Exactly.
They didn't eyeball it and get it and create a new involuntary window.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So what was happening there was the tensile strength of this smaller piece of wood was not large enough. It didn't distribute the weight evenly across a big, you know, 2 meter by 2 meter square. So you just sank in it.
Mm, of course.
And the guys were like, okay, if we just put wood on top of this, any individual plank of wood is going to do the same thing. And rather than a carpet spreading the load evenly across the entire room, when you stand on one plank of wood, you will go through it into the apartment below.
Yes.
And we were like, ah. And the guy who was in the floor, he was like, look, I'm going to level with you guys. I've been doing this for like 20 years. I have never seen this ever. I don't know how this is possible. Nikki's theory is that because this is a very old building and the front room is part of the old building and it has such a protected structure, they didn't want to screw around with that. So just kind of phoned it in. And we're like, this is fine.
In an effort to make sure that the house preserved its historical and cultural, you know, its old heritage kind of feel, they just did a really bad job of...
More or less.
Yeah, cool. All right. Interesting approach. Yeah. Not a particularly sustainable one, but hey, all right. Worked fine, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what happened. Anyway, so they were like, okay, we'll have to get this other guy in to put in a new subfloor on top of your pseudo-crappy subfloor.
The specialist team, the one that come on when they need to do some kicking or something.
Well, kind of, because he was like, I can't exactly, you know, rip it up and pour concrete into the hole, so I don't really know what to do here. This is like a construction-level issue. This isn't like a flooring guy issue, right?
Yeah.
So they called
like
these guys
in. A civil engineer
to
come in, yeah.
Exactly, who normally do like new apartment buildings, right? And Riley, we were blessed because they're obviously like they don't do just a random sitting room; they do like 50 units at a time, so they're never going to be able to squeeze us in, right? And then, lo and behold, you know what was happening one fateful Saturday morning?
Go on.
It was raining.
Oh, in Ireland?
So the guys, I know, so
in October,
in January,
in November,
in November. Yeah,
are you kidding me?
So the guys were like, hey, we can come tomorrow because it's either do this thing for you guys and we have to pay extra for it or go stand out in the rain on this construction site. So we could do this. And we're like, yes, let's go.
Might get some tea and biscuits out of coming to your place. Exactly. That's a good deal.
Exactly. So they came over, did that. Floors were done. But rather than taking 3 days, Riley, so we arrived on the Sunday. We thought it would be done probably hopefully by the Wednesday, Thursday maybe. It was done the following Thursday.
I don't know why you ever believe. Like, you know, I got immense respect for tradies, and they do a lot of stuff. They work what is effectively to me magic because it's just I don't know how. But
we talked about this last week, right? Yeah, you're a DIY sorcerer. They are DIY wizards.
But Dennis, how, why would you possibly believe the lies that they tell you about how quickly it's going to take, how fast it's going to take for them to get a job done? It's the one thing, man, that they can never get right.
Because my friend Steve recently got an apartment. When I recently, I mean like within the last couple of weeks. And hired these exact same guys to do the exact same thing with the exact same accidentally floor paneling.
Okay. And they got it done?
They got it done in like 48 hours.
On time. Oh, okay. All right. But with you, they were like, nah, we can this guy's a sucker. We can take it for all it's worth. Let's go.
They didn't charge me anymore.
Never seen this, mate. No, I wouldn't know. But my mate, he knows all about this sort of stuff. It'll cost you a bit extra to get him
mate,
in. But
yeah.
Yeah, in they didn't defense, charge you any extra, Dennis. But they the other bloke sure as hell did.
The other bloke did. In his defense, walking around after they pulled the carpet up, it was mighty unstable, I won't lie.
Yeah. So what did they replace it with? Did they put new like big board things down and then new carpet on top of that? Or what is it looking like now?
They put new big board things down and then they put laminate flooring on top of that, yeah. I'm a laminate man now.
You're a laminate man.
Here's the thing. We went into the shop and we're like, hello, we would like to change an entire apartment. And the guy presumably was like, let's go. All right.
Yeah. He's like, holiday home. All right. Yep. Good.
Well, nowhere near that. Anyway, and I was like, all right, what's, what's the deal? And he's like, okay, you got
all right.
Like,
he's like, okay, Ibiza maybe flying with EasyJet instead of Ryanair this time. Nice.
But up here, we're on the British Airways. No, he goes, so there's laminate, which is like the cheapest one. There's like, and then there's hardwood floors, the other end of the spectrum. And then there's like a half laminate mix hybrid one, right?
Where a
like
hybrid
laminate
one?
On the bottom and then. Yeah, where it's a tiny thin strip of hardwood, and underneath it's laminate again.
Oh, so they put hardwood under a laminate coating, so then they don't have to treat the top of the hardwood. Okay, that makes sense.
I think it's other way around. I think it is the top is still hardwood, but it's
and then laminate just underneath.
Like yes, for so what? You don't have to pay for the full inch of wood or whatever.
Right, they just shave that in half, and then okay, all right, that's strange. I guess there's probably laws about how thick a flooring thing has to be, so they just make the rest of it up with laminate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
And he was like, I'm going to level with you.
It's like cutting hardwood with laminate, right? It's like a Coke dealer with talcum powder or whatever. I don't know what they
exactly.
Do.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're cutting the
it's
good
like
stuff.
It's
exactly.
Like a medieval baker putting sawdust into the flour. It's like, yeah, they're cutting hardwood with laminate. You know, it's a less pure strain of hardwood.
But these floor junkies can't tell the difference, dude. It's all the same.
No, it's all the same to them. All these so-called hardwood experts. So, hang on. You didn't go for... So was this guy trying to push the hardwood on you? What did you say? Something like that?
Well, here's the thing. He, the salesman, on commission, right, was like, hardwood's more expensive. He's like, unless you're... Well, no. He was like, unless you're old and think it's especially cool to have hardwood, that it's not really any better and most people can't tell the difference.
You're joking.
I would just go for the laminate. And I was like,
this guy's on the shonk. No, this guy's on the shonk, dude. He's getting kickbacks from big laminate. Nah, no way. Don't tell me that. There's no way.
That's fine, dude. I am fine with that.
What if you're being sold a substandard product just because he's lining his product, he's lining his pockets?
Upon research, so we had another piece of data, another datum, if you will, which is that Nikki's parents got their floor done a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was... they'd like gotten some wood that had been like reclaimed from some other house, right?
Yeah.
And they were repurposing it, but they didn't have quite enough to like do everything they wanted. So they had like all the hallways done in that wood, and then they had like a little side room that they had to get a laminate and match it as close as possible.
Sure. Okay. So they found a laminate that like kind of looked like the hardwood floor that they had for the rest of the house.
Probably not right. Kind of looked like. For love nor money, you can't tell the difference.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, man, okay, I am not buying hardwood. Like, there's no way.
The reason that's funny is I don't know Nikki's parents super well, but I know her mum well enough to know that I think that probably would have annoyed her quite a lot.
Oh, no, well, it was funny because we were at dinner with them when we were talking about it, and Nikki's mother said this in front of Nikki's father, and he was clearly staring at her like, after all the fuss you made about this floor, you're like, well, the lemon is just as good. He was furious,
yeah,
dude.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. So because I'm a half and half man. My house is hardwood, and then the other half is laminate. From when the previous owners, I don't know what they did. I'm pretty sure they replaced a bunch of the flooring with laminate, and it looks fine. Like it just looks like normal timber, but they didn't try to match it. Like it's very very different between the rooms.
My understanding is that hardwood hardwood has a certain old worldy charm to it, and if you take care of it properly, looks very very nice.
Yeah. Well,
but you have to do that.
Well, I haven't been doing that because it gets scratched. I don't think the wood is actually scratched, but the top of it, oh my goodness. Like if you put chairs and stuff on it, it just scratches it to shit.
Yeah.
It's probably just the varnish or whatever.
You get splinters from it too, man. It's real wood down there.
I guess so. Yeah. What are you going to get with a laminate splinter? Get a laminate burn.
Microplastics, I guess.
Yeah,
I
microplastics.
Know.
Yeah.
Floors are excellent. Very happy with it.
Do they look like wood? Because my laminate floors don't.
They look a lot like wood. I'll send you a close-up photo.
Because my laminate floors, like you look at them, even anything more than a cursory glance, you can tell that they're not actual wood. They're wood flavored. They taste like wood. I munch on them every day. No, they're wood.
Nikki
like,
always describes colored. Candles as flavored, and I'm upset. And soaps.
That's
and
definitely
stuff,
that's like, definitely closer to it. Hey, that's definitely closer to it. All right, I haven't got the picture yet. Here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say mine probably look a little bit less wood-like than yours. They're nice floors, though, dude. Well, congratulations. Well done.
I'm very happy with it.
Great
but
floors.
It was a rough...
They're like a nice kind of darky brown kind of color.
I think they're smoked oak.
Smoked oak. You got that smoke oak look, and yeah.
I only
nice
know that because we tried to get a new dresser that matched roughly, and it was very difficult.
Yeah, right. We looked at a house while we were while we were house hunting, and there were these floors that I thought looked really nice, like proper nice hardwood floors. I thought they looked really, really good. And we were sort of umming and ahhing about the house. I had some other issues, but I said to Megan, "Well, I don't know. I really like the floors." She's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Oh, I like the floors. Like that, you know, it had a really nice kind of soft, gentle color, and I thought it would look." She's like, "They were orange." I was like, "What?" Like, they were orange floors. We would have to like paint them or do something to them. They were horrible. I was like, "All right, well, I'll just defer to your opinion. I'll defer to your expertise when it comes to you know, the floors could be orange, they could be brown, could be green. I got no idea."
You have some idea. I imagine you just see a more muted orange, which is probably quite tasteful in reality.
Yes, yeah, that's probably what it was. To me, this, you know, violent orange was the what's it called? The saturation being turned down to the point that it was just like a very nice stately color. Yeah. So, any further issues with the floors now that they're in? Any squeaks? Any?
No. Yuri is not a fan in that when he tries to like have a bit of a runabout, he skids around corners.
Oh, like
not
a cartoon cat?
To.
Yes. Yeah. That's fair. It's a
it would play the like the Scooby Doo noise. Yes. You know what I mean? Yep. It's that.
Yeah, Scotia's like that as well, trying to take the hard corners around like from a bedroom into the hallway. Yeah, she does the Wile E. Coyote running after you've gone across the cliff thing, like sprinting in place type situation. And then eventually, I don't know, the thrusters kick in and she's off. But it's good fun. It's good fun.
The thrusters kick in. That's a very good way of describing it.
And nothing for him to tear up anymore.
No, which is good. He wasn't too bad for that. He'd stretch on the carpet sometimes and he'd be a little awkward, but like, no, he wasn't ripping it up or anything like that. I'm not, you know, we didn't replace him because of Yuri. We replaced it because of my damn chair mostly.
Yeah, you scratched it up, not the cat. We're a rug family. We've got lots of rugs. Love a rug.
Oh, we have a lot of rugs too, yeah.
And one of our rugs is like a jute rug. It's like a sort of hand-woven look jute rug. She goes to town on that, and we're very happy for her to do that because it's already kind of messy and it's got like little bits sticking out of it anyway. So her scratching it is kind of improving its aesthetic. You know, it's very much like leaning into the look the rug
evening
is going
it out.
For.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. So it's better than her going after the couch or the rug, which she does anyway, little shit. But Dennis, I'm pleased that the floor saga ultimately was successful, although it did sound like you, based on the conversation we had at the time. It sounds like you're having an awful situation, but now that it's resolved...
It was really annoying.
Well, let's get into that. That's like, the juicy details we all want.
Well, like, the whole house is covered in sawdust because they're, like, cutting floorboards and stuff, and they'd done 90% of it. Well, maybe not 90% of it, 60% of it or whatever, and except the main room. And then they had to leave for 4 days while they sourced another guy to do this thing. He had to come in, all this stuff. So we were just living in a construction site.
Yeah.
Couldn't
sit and
it
down,
was awful.
Couldn't stand up. What were you doing? You had to float.
Couldn't, well, no, also, like, couldn't, like, watch TV, couldn't cook. You know?
Yeah.
Couldn't. So we just had to like every night we were like, anything on the cinema that you're like remotely interested in? Because we can't sit in the house. Like.
Yeah, just calling all your friends. Hey, man, if you want to hang out, like we can come around. No, dude, you've come around last 3 nights. Oh, just.
We did movies at Jeff's for reference. We never do movies at Jeff's.
Oh, the movie jar was at Jeff's.
The movie jar had to move to Jeff's, dude.
Oh, dear. How was that?
Disaster. It was actually lovely. It was nice because he moved in with Darren. It was a nice place. It was nice to go see the place. But
okay.
I am very much a home bird in that game. Every time I'm out with my friends at dinner or in the bar or something, I'm like, oh, let's go back to ours.
Yeah.
Let's go back to ours. And one night when we had this construction thing, the weekend it was supposed to be finished with lovely new floors, we went out in Dunleary, which, as you know, is not very far from me at all. We were in a bar and I was like, we can't go back to ours. Yeah. This is awful. I hate this.
The natural order of things has been completely disrupted by this. That's terrible.
Well, it's one of those things where everyone else thinks we're being very gracious hosts, right? Mm. But I'm like, oh,
no,
when
this is my
the night's
preference.
Over,
yeah.
I'm already home, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd love to do that. If only I had friends over here that I could do that with. That'd be perfect.
You should try being more likable.
No, nah, definitely not. Shut up, idiot. So what have we learned, Dennis? That floors are essential to the correct functioning of a house?
Floors are essential. And if you're getting your floor changed and they come in and they look underneath the carpet and they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Make sure they also take a pickaxe to the wood to see that there's not a void underneath it.
Check that
like you're not falling into the underdark underneath your floorboards because that's what happened to me.
Check the screed stitch. The screed stitch has got to be checked out before you start any floor construction work. I had a... I don't know. I was going to try to link this to... Maybe you can help me. You can workshop this with me, right? So...
Okay.
It involves wood. It involves
wood
being placed horizontally. Which I guess is kind of linked to what happened to you, although you had wood-like, you had a wood-like material placed horizontally in your home. I had actual wood placed horizontally in my home. But this placement of wood, this horizontal placement of wood, was something that I neither asked for or desired.
Because so it sounds like a tree fell over?
A tree fell over in my house.
So I would say, if you wanted to link those two things, going from wood ending up on a floor at the end of its life cycle, let's take it back to the roots, pardon the pun, because a tree fell over in my garden recently.
All right. Okay. If that's the best you can do, I guess that's fine. Anyway, a tree fell over in my backyard. And the weird thing was, like, you're in the middle of a hurricane, right? Like you were telling me.
It's a storm. I don't think we actually get hurricanes.
We're downgrading it from a hurricane. When we started the call, I was like, hey, what's going on? You're like, oh, yeah, there's like 130 kilometer an hour winds. People without power. Like trees being blown over. 100,000 premises
without power, yeah. We could be cut off here any moment, actually.
That'll be a fun back half of the podcast. So here, there was a light thunderstorm, right? Very common in Queensland, particularly as we head into summer. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit of thunder, a bit of lightning, nothing too exciting. Thunder and lightning, not very, very frightening. Bit of rain, bit of wind, not that much wind. Tree, bang, just comes down, right? The amount of noise it made, for anyone who lives near palm trees, right? Palm trees lose entire fronds in one go, right? So, you know, like a palm tree has those big...
Yeah, you'd whack your mates with one.
The big raft of leaves that come off them, right? That whole thing will fall in one go. And it makes like a fair bit of noise for the size of it. But the tree coming down, full on tree. This tree's like, I don't know, 10 meters tall. It came down with about as much noise as a palm frond. So when I heard it, I was like, oh, okay, another palm frond's come down. I'll have to put that in the big pile of green waste that I will take to the tip eventually. I go outside to check, and there's just a tree lying across our backyard.
How thick and how tall is this tree?
This tree, I would estimate, is probably about 10 meters tall. The trunk, or you could get one arm around it easily. So not a very thick.
Like no, if you but put, a tall tree.
A tall tree, yeah. Maybe 10 meters is too tall. I don't know.
So two trees of about that same height and girth, I would say, right now, are sitting outside my window at a precarious angle, I would say.
Well, that's only a temporarily precarious angle. Dennis, the tree in my backyard is at a permanently precarious angle now.
Well, it's not precarious. It's quite stable now, I'd say.
Well, I've never had this happen to me before. Certainly never in a house that I've owned, right? And I was thankfully, not really luckily, I don't think it could have. It would have had to try very hard. It would have had to jump to hit the house, but it didn't hit the house, thankfully, right? It fell across the back lawn. And just looking at it, like there was no major damage, and we're all fine and safe. So it didn't hit a fence. It didn't hit. It just hit the ground, right? So it's fine. And I was like, well, I just don't really know what to do with this. Like, what does one do with a big tree that's lying?
Do you call the council?
No, you don't. You call an arborist, right?
Ooh, you know what they call those here that I hate?
What do they call them?
Tree surgeons.
Tree surgeons.
Yeah, it's awful.
What do you mean? They're not giving trees a hip replacement.
No, but they are giving them, broadly speaking, I'd say amputations.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. I would not want to be treated by an actual surgeon the way that an arborist treats a tree. Certainly not with a chainsaw.
Well, to be fair, you gave them a dead tree.
Yes. Okay. Well, then they're tree undertakers then.
I suppose in some situations a surgeon briefly becomes an undertaker if all things go wrong.
Yeah,
right?
If an unfortunate surgeon can become indeed an undertaker very briefly. Anyway, so I don't call the arborist first. I call my dad, obviously. Give dad a call. Dad, tree's fallen over in the yard. No worries. Everyone's safe. It's fine. Not a big deal. What do we do to get rid of it? He's like, well, you know, call an arborist. They'll send out a guy. He'll give you a quote. But what you're going to want to do then is go to Bunnings and buy a bow saw and cut it up yourself. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. That doesn't really sound like the sort of thing that I, one, could do, or two, am interested in doing. So I'll just call the arborist, right? So call the arborist. They're like, yep, no worries. We'll send a guy out to come and have a look at it. He comes around. There's another tree in the backyard that's the same type as this tree. And I was like, I'm going to get him to look at that one as well, right? To see if it's like also going to fall down or what or whatever. Because it was so weird that it fell like this. Anyway, the guy that comes around, he's like, oh, this is not surprising. This type of tree, they fall over all the time. I'm like, oh, great. There's another one in the backyard. Fantastic. Love that. So here's a look at it. He takes some pictures. And he's like, no worries. I'll,
well, he thinks he's getting her a repeat gig, right? He's like, oh, no, this won't fall down. 3 weeks later, lo and behold, Dana comes. Oh, no.
Well, what he should have said, because I asked him this, I was like, do you think this is going to come down? And he's like, I'll have a look at it. He's like, oh, I can't really tell. He should have just said, oh, mate, absolutely. That thing's a gust of wind and that's gone, right? I'll get rid of it for you. Anyway, I get the quote from this arborist, right, that later on that afternoon. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to throw stones here at arborists. They're usually very strong men with chainsaws. So the last thing you want to do is throw stones at them. Can you, like, I couldn't believe how much this, I was quoted to get rid of a tree. Couldn't believe it.
How much did they quote you to get rid of a tree?
1,000 Australian dollars per tree.
So that's plus like 80, GST. 90 euro. Jesus.
I couldn't believe it. And also, this is the other thing. That wasn't to get rid of the whole tree. That was only to get rid of the part of the tree that had fallen on the grass.
So right? The stump stays there?
Not only the stump, about half the trunk that was still in like the garden bed, right? Because he's like, oh, removing the trunk is, it's probably the most expensive part of the whole thing, right? Because it takes ages. You're not paying for anything other than just time at that point, right? Because they have to cut it up into small bits that are small enough to carry because it's heavy, right?
It's tedious.
It's tedious work. So what he's saying is like the main thing we do is get rid of like the big part of the tree, the big branches with all like the leaves and that sort of stuff, because that's hard. That's difficult. That's skilled work, right? Whereas like the trunk, if you just go and hire a chainsaw, you can chop that up yourself and put it in your trailer and it's fine, right? So I'm like, no worries. Yeah, get rid of half the trunk. And the stump, by the way, like your guy who had to come in to do the special part of the floor, you have to bring in a stumper to do a stump.
Oh, a stumper. Oh, to be fair, we call those tree dentists here.
Tree dentists. That one works, yes, to do an extraction of a stump.
I completely made that up, and I think it actually scans.
It actually really works super well. But no, removing a stump is a completely different thing to removing a tree, because now, Dennis, you've got the ground involved.
It's a root canal.
You should have a look at what a stumper looks like, and I'm very glad they don't do root canals like this. It's this big machine that basically like chews up the stump, right? It like chews it up while it's in the ground and then rips it out bit by bit. It's horrible. Anyway, so 1,000 Australian dollars to remove half a tree from my backyard, right? The whole thing, if I want both trees done, it's $3,500. If I want everything done, just the stumps left. And so my mind went back to this call ad with my dad, right, where he was like kind of tongue-in-cheek but also kind of not. Once you call the arborist, then go to Bunnings, get a bow saw and do it yourself. And I was like, all right, he knew it was coming, right? So I am out shopping and I'm like, I'll get a bow saw. So I go to Bunnings, get a bow saw, and I come back to the house and I find, Dennis, the tree is gone. All that's left. All that's left is the trunk, right? All the branches, everything on the tree has just gone. And I'm like, okay, what's happened here? I look at down the side of the house. Sure enough, it's all in the trailer. So I'm thinking at this point, did they just come back and do it after giving me the quote? Is the quote an assumption that I'm going to accept? What the hell?
It definitely isn't.
No, it's definitely not. And I'm like, but they're not here. Like, they didn't tell me that. Am I just going to get a bill?
Yeah, I would be afraid of that too, absolutely.
I
would contest it.
You know. I'm a man that's not readily parted with his money, so I was very, very concerned that I was about to pay this $1,000 plus GST to have them done this. Megan comes home from work, and I said, do you see the tree? And she's like, yeah, what do you think? And I was like, are you kidding me? Megan just had the morning off to herself. She went out, not even with a bow saw, with a pruning saw. Dennis, this thing is like, I don't know, 30 centimeters long. It's like a foot long, right? It's a thing that you used to prune a rose bush.
Yeah.
And she just ripped it apart. She tore
full Xena warrior princess. Let's go.
Apparently, I asked her about it. Apparently, she wasn't having a very good morning. She was filled with rage.
Okay, yeah.
And so she, I tell you what, she put that rage to very good use because she stripped this tree back like in a way that it was $1,000 worth of labor in a morning. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it because I was looking at
this
and I'm like,
mad.
Because when, like, I told Megan that it was going to cost $1,000. She's like, yeah, no, there's no way we're paying that, right? And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to Bunnings. I'm going tomorrow morning. I'll get a bow, so we'll come back and, like, you know, I know you're working, but, like, maybe the next day we can go out and, like, we'll do it together, right? And I was assuming it was going to be a difficult task for us to do together, right? Megan did it by herself in a morning. So,
dude, this reminds me very heavily of when I was working in Limerick.
Yeah.
And it was in a job I hated. It was in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been living down there for like 4 months or 5 months or something. And I quit. Mm. And it was on my last day. And Nikki came in to see me. She can help me move all my stuff back up to Dublin. And I get off work and I'm like, all right, it's 4 or 5 o'clock or whatever. Time to go home and like start packing up the car with like my computer and, you know, my suitcase, all that kind of stuff. My apologies.
Oh.
My Alexa is speaking to me. I didn't even think that was plugged in again. So
I thought it was Nikki coming in and saying, hey, stop telling stories about me.
No, so Skynet's officially online. Yeah. They've taken this storm here as an opportunity to seize control, and this is my last transmission
all right.
As part of the human race here in Dublin.
Great. No, well, tell us the light and frothy story about what happened in Limerick.
Well, yeah. I was like, okay, let's go time to pack up stuff. And I go outside and Nikki's in the car and she'd spent the day packing up everything already. And she's like, all right, we just get to drive home now. And I was like, amazing.
Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah. Incredible. Like just having something like that on your list that you're not looking forward to doing. And then you come home and it's just been done. And I was just like this, because I thought it was, as I say, I thought it was going to be a difficult task for two people. Megan made it seem like a very simple task for one person, so
highly emasculating, I have to imagine.
I don't give a shit about that at all. No, that
I'm not saying you cling to. I'm not saying you cling to that, but objectively, I think it's highly emasculating.
Honestly, it's the first time that I'd even thought about it, and no, I'm quite happy to let her.
Oh, I'd take the trade too, dude. Are you joking?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We both like being driven around by our partners, which I know is something that might stick in a lot of men's teeth. But no, I'm all about getting the passenger seat whenever I can.
I'm a passenger princess. Sure. I don't even have a full driver's license.
So, anyway, we still need to get rid of the trunk, right? And so Megan and I agree. You know, we'll go out. I got the post saw now, so we can tear down that trunk. Looks like Megan had a little bit more rage to work through the next day, Dennis, because sure enough, as I was sitting here and recording Half House History, I go back out there and she is out in the full sun, drenched in sweat, again, just chopping this tree up like she was trying to hide a body. It was a sight to be seen.
Was she concerningly adept with the bow saw?
Yeah, it was. First time using it. Oh, never. Don't have any experience with this. But she went to town with this tree.
She's pouring lye on the tree branches and burying it 8 feet, and then burying a dead dog on top of it. Like,
she was noticing Google Maps. She had like a pig farm in history or something. Anyway, so the tree has now been cut back to the point that the arborist said that they would. Right. The only thing that stopped Megan from cutting the tree back further is that the bow saw isn't, it's not deep enough, if that makes sense. Like the actual bow part isn't now big enough to get through the trunk. So now that's
is that other tree and, looking a little nervous?
Oh, that tree's
saw Megan actually hack apart its
bullets,
sibling.
Dude. It had a front row seat to Megan going apart and you know, completely dismembering its.
It's like a Saw movie for trees.
So. Yeah, quite literally, right? Bowsaw. A tree's it's a horror film. So the tree was taken care of. It's not a problem that took care of itself, but it's definitely a problem that Megan took care of. And I'm very grateful that Megan Simpson Arborist Services were available to me for the princely sum of $0 instead of paying $1,000 plus tax to remove that stupid tree from my backyard.
I don't blame you. That sounds like an absolute freebie. Riley, quick update on the storm here.
Mm.
So you basically, earlier you questioned, like, how concerned should I be? Like, because I was like, hurricane. I was like, wait, it's actually not a hurricane. It's just a storm. But I'm going to send you a photo that I think will be entirely inscrutable to you.
Okay.
Because based on your color blindness, I don't know how legible this is to
is
you
gonna
anyway.
Is it going to be a picture of a floor with no screed in it?
No, it'll be very screwed. It's going to be a picture of Ireland and its counties, and it's going to be color-coded. So let's see how this goes.
All right,
over.
Let's see how I can go with this. I just went to rte.ie, and the first picture is just it's funnily enough, a car that a tree has fallen on top of.
Oh, God, that's pretty brutal. Yeah,
it's really brutal. So if anyone wants to, by the time this comes out, we're recording this on Monday, so by the time this comes out on Thursday or Friday, maybe the...
Well, if you're a patron on Patreon.com, just have a listen to this, you can get it today, probably.
Yeah, you get it today, and you can go and see just how bad things are. All right, so what it looks like to me is sort of through the center of Ireland, it's pretty bad. That's the red. And then there's green sections outside of that, so that means it's all good. It's fine around there. And then yellow
towards
the south and the north.
So that green section is an orange section.
Ah, so that's probably a slightly higher warning then than it would be if it were green.
So that is it's as lovely as the green floor you guys almost got.
This is the problem with being colorblind. Obviously, red. You look at red, you're like, oh, danger, right? Yellow also not great, but you look at green. Oh, green's fine. If green on a map, that's actually
extremely bad.
So you look at this map, and the red area is surrounded by the green area, and then that green area is surrounded by the yellow area. So for some reason, the closer you get. There's an enclave
in the middle, the eye of the storm.
You move away as you move from the yellow bit towards the green, the red bit. It gets safer for a while, but then gets really bad.
Really bad, yeah. So the red strip going through the middle of the country, and including Dublin, where a third of the country lives. Mm-hmm. The description for a red weather warning is rare and very dangerous weather conditions from intense meteorological phenomena. Take action to protect yourself and your property.
All right. Pop the chainmail on,
it is the highest possible warning level.
Call the guards. Get those tin hats on because you've got to protect yourself from the oncoming ravages of the wind.
I mean, I can't believe we do actually have to call the guards. That is who we call. They come with their pole arms. They say, somebody stole your sweet roll, and then they lance you with them.
Well, I hope everything works out for you, dude. And I hope that you don't have to employ the services of an arborist anytime soon. Although, Dennis, if you do, I can certainly give you someone's number.
I hope I don't need a surgeon, tree or otherwise.
Yes, a surgeon of any kind. Hopefully, the services will not be required. And certainly, while I trust Megan in one of those capacities, in the other, I did see her go to town with a bow saw, so I don't know. Maybe she'd be better than we both think.
Ordinarily, that would be an artful dismount, Riley, for our non-Patreon listeners, but that piece of news has just come across my desk that I would like to share with you and indeed the patrons at home, because it has made my day, whether I am crushed by a fell tree or not. So, I'm sorry for stealing time on this, except I'm not actually sorry.
Wait, what? This is fine.
I'm telling
you. Have we finished the podcast?
Normally I think that would have been a natural point to transition out to the patron-only portion. I want this to stay in.
Dennis wants this to stay in. I thought this was just for those special exclusive few that are found on the Patreon.
This is important enough that I want to stay in. So, right.
Okay, I'm glad you told me because I was about to start swearing and saying all that bigoted stuff that I usually say on the Patreon.
Yeah, all the racist tirades all for the patrons. You got to stick out for those.
Now I've got to wait for a couple more minutes. Okay, all right. I'll try to hold back. Go on.
So a movie came out last year, Riley, called Babylon, that I was a massive, massive fan
that
of.
Space
that was
one,
not
right?
particularly... No.
I'm thinking Babylon 5.
Yes, you are.
Go on.
It's a Golden Age of Hollywood movie directed by Damien Chazelle. He's the guy directed like La La Land and Whiplash and stuff.
Oh,
I love it.
You love it, dude. Go and get your copy on DVD. All right, yep.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Of course you do.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, right. Cinephile. Yeah, okay.
One of the only two Blu-rays I own.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet yesterday because it was like a Twitter that was like, what's your favorite movie with a rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes? Because it has a rotten rating. It is not very well received. And there was someone tweeted about it being like, I swear to God, half of you didn't see the same movie. And someone replied saying, Babylon was mind-blowingly good. And I replied to that person saying, couldn't agree more. Loved it. And that person liked my tweet, Riley. And would you like to know who that person is and why this has made my day?
Who was that person?
That person was David Hayter, Riley. Solid Snake himself agrees with me and liked my tweet about Babylon. Let's go.
That's huge. I can see why you wanted to. I was very confused because we went from like tree chat into this. It was just a hard left turn. And I was like, okay.
This isn't enough to be a topic. And I will have forgotten about it by the time we record next Wednesday
that's
or whatever.
True. Yeah. Okay. So we can obliterate all the rest of the stuff you're talking about, trees, floors or whatever. Dennis had a tweet liked by Solid Snake himself.
What a day. What a day. Even if I get crushed by the tree that's bending concerningly towards me outside my window, I'll have died doing what I love, clamoring for attention on the internet. Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Treniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show, get the show a little bit early, as well as some other exclusive perks, and, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.